Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Well, I had the pleasure of meeting my next guest when I was invited to speak at an amazing event in Rome last November. And we'll talk a little bit about that event. Now, just trying to, it's one of these guests that when you're trying to distill down their bio into kind of a few line intro is quite difficult. So thanks to Victoria for her help in doing this. So I'll give you a little bit of a snapshot, because for over the past three decades, he's served the church with just an incredible entrepreneurial spirit, working with international nonprofits, authoring books. And he's also a respected commentator and has written things like opinion editorials for secular and also Catholic publications as well. But one of the things that he has a real heart for is cross-denominational, working together to really build up our faith, to build up the church and to help others to know God. And he's going to be telling us a little bit about that and giving some practical tips on how we can actually best go about that, and also be telling us a little bit about the Rome Summit that's going to be taking place in November 2018. So with me in studio, I have Thomas V. Wykes, the president and founder of the Springtime of Faith Foundation. Well, first of all, we'd say welcome to Ireland and welcome to Spirit Radio, Thomas.
Oh, it is just a pleasure to be here, Wendy. Thank you for having me.
So it's your first time in Ireland. You've already been visiting beautiful places in the glorious weather that we've been having, like Glendalough.
Yes, went to Glendalough yesterday, and I'm told that this weather is as nice as it's been in 70 years. And so we just feel warm and embraced by the wonderful Irish leaders here, and great to be with you today.
Tell me a little bit, Thomas, about the Springtime of Faith Foundation. Why did you set it up? What was the thing that drove you?
There was a phrase from John Paul II that the 21st century was going to be this period of spiritual renewal and greater ecumenical collaboration, a period of moral restoration, a new springtime. And I was like, wow, tag, I'm it. I have to go run with that. And somebody ought to get, you know, busy building this new springtime. And John Paul talked about new ardors, new methods, and new expressions, that the basics don't change. The Ten Commandments don't become the Ten Suggestions. But that if we're going to engage the contemporary culture, we have to think, we have to kind of blow up the box a bit. And think in new ways, speak in new ways, talk about new methods. And so I got excited about breaking new ground. And, you know, if you go to a Catholic parish anywhere in the world, you're unlikely to hear about the rich contributions that evangelicals and Southern Baptists may have made in building up the body. If you go to those churches, you're unlikely to hear about the wonderful things that Catholics have done to build up the body. So in order to encourage and foster greater harmony and unity, we focus on how we all have contributed over the years, the richness and beauty that we all have contributed to building up the body and making it stronger.
So how have you gone from that original idea that you're inspired by John Paul, as you say, to what the Springtime of Faith Foundation is today?
We started with an event in Rome, which is our premier event. We call it the Rome Ecumenical Summit. It's small. We have about 40 to 50 leaders who we carefully hand select. You have to be invited to it. We look for those who have a light on. Some of them are CEOs, and some of them are best-selling authors, and some of them are actresses from Hollywood, and you, of course, an accomplished broadcaster. But we have sculptors, we've had portrait artists, we have ordinary people who have an extraordinary zeal that we invite. We just look for those who have a light on, who are going somewhere, and we get them all together in the room. And at first we were wondering, can we just pray together? And then, you know, could we play together? We've started to sing together at our events. And we learn together, what is this history of ecumenism? Why has there been more progress in the last 50 years in bringing the body together than in the previous 450? And so we focused in with incredible speakers. I think it's the finest briefing of its kind on ecumenism anywhere in the world. We've had Vatican cardinals and network television personalities and renowned experts who are experts on the body, Christianity in the Middle East, and renewal movements that are taking place all over the world. And so we have a cardinal rule, you know, no pun intended there. When you come to our event, you cannot talk about anything that's going bad. You know, you have
it's all about being positive and, and focusing on the springtime.
Yeah, signs of spring, because I believe the way we get out, the way you get out of a hole is one shovel full of dirt at a time. You have to focus on what's working. You have to build on the models that are working.
In terms of that theme, Thomas, this idea of a springtime, I think a lot of people listening might feel, with their Christian faith, kind of beaten down or deflated. Certainly here in Ireland, oftentimes you can feel, for just being a Christian, almost like a social pariah in some sort of ways. But obviously your focus is all positive, saying, no, there are seeds of spring. So how do you, what do you look for? How do you change that mindset? And what are the practical things you can do to cultivate that rather than feeling that weight on your shoulders?
Sure. I think one of the practical things you can do is look at every secular media outlet and turn it off. Refuse to watch it on a daily basis. The blind can't lead the sighted. And you have to remember, you know, we have the truth. You know, we know what life is like in terms of following and adhering to that truth and walking it out. We have the joy of what it means to have a marriage where that God has brought together and we stick together and we walk down the road together for decades. We have the track record in our churches of those kinds of success stories. So we're meant to lead the culture, not have the culture lead us. We have to understand that those voices are, we pray for those people, they're not going to uplift us on a daily basis for sure. It would be much better with our children to pull out the Chronicles of Narnia or Mere Christianity or some fabulous book and say, let me sit down and talk to you about one of the greatest authors of all time, C.S. Lewis. And let me tell you about Father Patrick Peyton from Ireland. Let me talk to you about these wonderful Christian martyrs and turn the others off. You know, I'll allow myself 30 seconds a day to look at headlines, but I don't even read the commentary on the headlines. I don't want those filters to contaminate my brain. Just that little exercise alone, I'll tell you, enough people do that. Just like what we found in America, Hollywood came around and started to make Christian films because there were so many people not going to the theater anymore. They were watching attendance drop, and it is with professional sports. NFL has had a 3-year slide in attendance, and it's because of the political correctness and the far left agenda that's being advanced. People don't want to go to a ball game and hear more of that, so they're turning it off. And the more people that turn it off, they'll come around. They'll start to say, wow, there's a market there that we better cater to. And so that's the first suggestion. You have to remember, we're the new media. We don't have to rely even on broadcast entities to get our message out. We have email. We have Twitter. We have Facebook. We can become our own broadcasters to our own sphere of influence of everything that's right, well, true, holy, good, pure. We can be the broadcast network.
I think it's Pope Francis who says we have to be digital missionaries. One of the things I wanted to touch on, Thomas, is a fantastic book that you've written called A Vision for Spring. And it's really all about working together on advancing the cause of Christian unity. And I think a lot of people listening are probably involved with different ventures or maybe want to start an ecumenical venture. What kind of advice or tips can you kind of draw from this for people to really think about to do that, to advance a vision of Christian unity?
Well, you know, the prayer that they all may be one was the prayer of a dying man before Good Friday, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It obviously was a very important prayer, but most Christians may know John 3:16, but they don't know John 17:21. And why is that? It should be something that we share with every Christian on the face of the earth. So I think that the first thing that we can do is to pray for unity within the body on a daily basis, to just make it a point, Lord, we want the body to come together. We want there to be a period of spiritual renewal and restoration. We know the world can't believe until we come together as one and to just every day as a family pray for greater Christian unity. And just the prayer for Christian unity is a step in the right direction. I think it makes one disposed to be welcoming toward your brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus. And then to point, there are models, not many, around the world where this is working and coming together. The pro-life movement in the United States is a great example. They've had Orthodox and Catholics and Evangelicals and Southern Baptists all working together for the March for Life.
Mm, I think we've seen that here in Ireland recently.
You know, I mean, in 18 months ago, the pro-life movement was pretty depressed in America. But now, you know, 18 months later, Americans believe that the right to life will be significantly advanced. Roe v. Wade, if not overturned, will be substantially hollowed out within the next 18 months. So things can change really, really quickly. And, you know, I think another practical thing that we have to think about across Western nations, people are depressed about the anti-family forces, the anti-very secular mindset that dominates the pervasive media. It can become very disheartening on a daily basis, but one statistic that I've honed in on and zeroed in on is you look at the way the culture was when people went to church and what the attendance rates were. And it's very hard in any Western country if you have 30% going to church with the body to then say, okay, well, we're going to galvanize 20 or 30% who aren't even going to church to be with us on this political issue. And if we committed ourselves as Christians to the greatest welcome back home program in the history of Christendom, and just, you know, I know we think that we have to spend a lot of time, you know, marching and protesting, and we do. It's an important part. But if we would equally zero in on, we're going to get as many millennials in particular back into the churches. And I don't believe it's rock bands and donuts. You know, it could be, we meet all kinds of wonderful young men and women who are looking for a spouse. And they've been to the bar and they've tried that. And it's left them heartbroken and empty. And they want something real, and they want something forever. Especially young women want something that's true and going to last and is the real deal. And so my wife and I have always joked that we should have, like, this barbecue for millennials and bring them all together, the young men and women that we know who are brokenhearted and tell us separately, but we never have them all in one room. Now, I think churches could do a great job of bringing millennials together for big barbecues, just, and then, you know, have a talk about mere Christianity or something that's rich and substantive, and start to serve them where they're at. Some apologies are in order for what they've experienced at the hands of clergy or the church. And but to go out like never before to bring them back. Pope Francis in our church, the Catholic Church, talks about an ambulance, you know,
the field hospital.
The field hospital. The world is a field hospital. And there was a diocese in the United States. I'm sorry I can't remember offhand. But they put an ambulance together with a priest in it. And they sent out this ambulance into the world. And that's the way we've got to be right now. All hands on deck. I was watching about the attack on Dunkirk, Churchill, the movie, on the airplane on the way over, and how they had this incredible civilian boat lift to rescue the soldiers who were trapped at Dunkirk. And all these little boats you see in the ocean rescuing soldiers. And I was like, wow, that's what we have to do. We have to bring them all back. We have to organize as we've never organized before, put them in buses. And this isn't, well, we're going to wait for the church to organize a welcome back. No, 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 no. Every Sunday can be welcome back home day. You know, how many are you going to put in your car this Sunday and take back and have brunch with them afterwards and make a personal connection? Put the cell phones down. You don't build friendships with an electronic device. Forget about that. Pick somebody up. Take them to church this Sunday. Go break bread with them afterwards. Start to build a friendship. Promise that you're going to pray for them. Be there for them. Be a real friend. We have to learn how to be real friends for people again, so that when their marriage goes bad and they're sick in the hospital and their child develops some debilitating disease, we are physically present to people. And as those bonds increase, as we start to build those bonds, you're going to see people come back. And as the attendance in the churches goes up, you will see everything societal that you're concerned about go away. It'll disappear because there will be too many people in church.
I certainly am energized, Thomas, and I could probably keep you on air for the rest of the show, but unfortunately we have run out of time. I think you will have given so many of our listeners hope and also practical things that they can do to re-evangelize the nation, the culture. For people who want to find out more about you and your work, what's the best way for them to stay in touch with you?
Our website, www.springtimeoffaith.org, is the best way to connect with us and look at what we're doing. And just thank you for your graciousness here, Wendy. We so appreciate you.
Thank you so much for visiting us here in Spirit Radio. If you just joined me, I've been talking to Thomas V. Wykes, the president and founder of the Springtime of Faith Foundation. As Thomas mentioned there, you can go to their website, springtimeoffaith.org, and you can find out all about the work that they're doing. Thomas, thank you so much, and God bless the rest of your time in Ireland.
God bless you, Wendy.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.